The text for the sermon this morning is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is in the world an enemy whom we cannot see and whom we cannot ignore. We first meet him in Genesis chapter 3, and the last time we read about him is in Revelation chapter 20. He was present at the beginning of history, and he will be there until the end of time. That enemy is Satan. Scripture refers to him as the arch enemy of God and of his people. He's a liar, a deceiver, and a murderer from the beginning. He is a formidable enemy. He is an active and ferocious enemy. It is foolish to ignore him. Yet many people do not properly consider Satan's power and influence. They may not deny that he exists, but they do not take him too seriously. Even true believers often underestimate the strength and the danger of their sworn enemy, the devil. How few of us can say with the Apostle Paul, we are not ignorant of his devices. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul warns us about our spiritual adversary with these words, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We do not wrestle against mere human beings, although they oppose us also. Behind the physical people we meet every day who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, there are evil powers. Behind the enemies that we can see, there is a whole army of spiritual adversaries, made up of principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. God wants us, he wants you and me, to recognize the enemy. We must know whom we are fighting against. We learn here in this passage that God calls you and he calls me to battle. And God calls all believers to battle, not to a life of ease, but to a spiritual fight, to spiritual warfare. We have to fight against a clever and resourceful opponent, Satan himself, who is assisted by a host of evil spirits from the pit of hell. The Lord does not say this to discourage us. Rather, God's great purpose is to warn us to be careful, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be on our guard and ready to fight our vicious enemy. The life of faith is first of all resting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his finished work. But the life of faith also involves strenuous spiritual activity. It involves a real struggle. In this passage, the Lord tells us how we can overcome our mortal enemies, the world, our own wicked heart, and especially Satan, who is the focus in this text. God's prescription for victory over Satan is, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. First of all, let us consider this morning the power on which the Christian relies. The two things that the Lord commands in verses 10 and 11 are inseparably connected. You cannot be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might if you do not also put on the whole armor of God. We have no strength in ourselves. And that is why our text says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Do not rely on your own strength. If you do that, then you will certainly be defeated. You must be convinced of your own weakness and therefore of your need of God's help in this important battle. This help is available to you. All through this letter to the Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, and to you and me today, the Lord through His servant Paul teaches us that we must look to Jesus Christ, that we must rely upon Him. We must realize that there are vast resources of strength and power that believers have in their Savior. God has laid up all the treasures of wisdom, of power, and of knowledge in His only begotten Son. Everything that we need in this battle against the evil one and against his demons and against all the hosts of wickedness, whether in heaven or on earth, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. Before we go into battle, we must be sure to lay hold of God's almighty power in His Son, Jesus Christ. We must also do something with that power. We must put on the whole armor of God. Anyone who thinks that it is possible to live a genuine Christian life in their own strength has no idea of the enemies that we face and the temptations, the snares, the wiles, and the fiery darts that we constantly face in this life. One chief characteristic of the deceived, nominal Christian is that he thinks that being a Christian in this world and in this age and persevering to the end is a simple, easy, and relaxing task that does not require any hard work and certainly not any valiant fighting against a vicious enemy. That is nothing but a great delusion. One of the reasons for this great delusion is the horrible abuse of the great Reformation doctrine of justification by faith. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ is true and it is glorious, but it is not all that there is to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is no more true that justification by faith is the whole of the gospel than that your eye can see the light of day when it is separated from your living body. Justification by faith alone means that God the Father declares you righteous through the atonement and the obedience of Jesus Christ. And He uses the instrument of faith by or which the Holy Spirit of God works in our hearts. Justification by faith alone does not mean that your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can ever exist all by itself. No, if you're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are adopted as God's child, and the Spirit uses the Word of God to sanctify you, to turn you away from your sins more and more, and to teach you both to will and to do according to God's good pleasure. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to teach you to live according to all of God's commandments and statutes and ordinances and precepts and judgments, which are a true and perfect reflection of God's own glorious righteousness and holy person. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to make you more like God the Father, who has saved you. To make you more like Jesus Christ the Son, who lived and who died for you on the cross. To make you more like the Holy Spirit of truth and righteousness and holiness. The Bible says, without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. Sanctification is the hard, relentless battle that the Christian must fight against the evil one, against the world, against his own sinful nature. Through sanctification, the Holy Spirit transforms and renews us to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ. This battle is one of the hardest things that you could ever imagine. To think that you can accomplish it with no or little effort is contrary to the whole teaching of the whole Word of God. And that is why the Lord says to us in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, I have told you that you must submit to God. And you must submit to one another in the fear of God. And you're never going to be able to do this unless you are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that is where we find the strength. That is where we find the determination. That is where we find the will, the commitment. That is where we find the perseverance to do what God requires of us. And that is the first thing that is clearly stated in our text. The power on which we rely is the power of the triune God. And therefore the Lord says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How does a person do this? How do I become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? And the answer is, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or as Paul says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What does Paul mean by this figure of putting on the whole armor of God? The whole armor of God refers to the spiritual understanding and application of the truth of the gospel. Here we have a biblical picture of the true believer. He is fighting against the devil and his demons, and he is fighting them with weapons which the Lord Himself gives every one of His children. Every single weapon which God gives the Christian has to do with the Word of God. What is truth? Jesus said God's Word is truth. The truth of God is found only in the Bible. We must gird our waist with the truth of God in the Bible. The breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that can only be ours by faith. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Even that righteousness comes to us only as the Spirit of God works true faith in our hearts and in our lives by the continual hearing and understanding and applying truths of the Bible. The feet are covered with the gospel of peace. The shield is faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The helmet is salvation, and the salvation of God is the salvation revealed only in the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is itself the Word of God. That means that the only person who can take up the whole armor of God and put it on so that he can stand against the wiles of the devil is the person who hungers and thirsts after the knowledge and the understanding of the deep truths of God. And the elders of the church urge you to diligently use the means of grace that God has appointed for your spiritual growth every Lord's Day. They do not do that for their own sake. They do it for your sake. They do it because they know that there is no other way in this world that you are going to have the whole armor of God if you neglect the means that God has appointed for you. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith does not come by watching television or movies. Faith does not come by socializing with other people on the Lord's Day. Faith does not come by spending time together as a family. Faith does not come by sleeping or exercise or recreation. No, faith comes by hearing the Word of God preached on the Lord's Day. And one reason so many Christians today are weak and they're not able to strive as a mighty warrior to live for Jesus Christ and to stand against all the wiles and tricks of the devil in the midst of a crooked and adulterous generation in which we are living is that they neglect the means that God in His grace has given us that we might have faith and that our faith might grow. That it might be strengthened so that we might be strengthened as warriors of Christ, our King. If you use the means that God in His grace has appointed for our spiritual growth in faith and knowledge and love of God sporadically, once in a while, you will be weak and barren. You cannot really take up the whole armor of God and put it on when you neglect or you use sporadically or superficially or carelessly the means that God has appointed to work faith in our hearts and in our lives and to strengthen that faith by His grace through the power of His Holy Spirit who works by and with His Word. When you wake up in the morning, the devil is tracking you. He's busy following you everywhere, threatening you, taunting you, jeering at you, mocking you, throwing fiery darts at you. The days are evil. The world is evil. Satan is evil. Your own heart is evil. It is deceitful, the Bible says. Above all things, it is desperately wicked. If you do not realize the vital urgency and importance of hearing the Word of God in order to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might so that you're able to stand against the wiles and the tricks and the craft of the devil and to withstand in the evil day, then Satan will most certainly defeat you and you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is why it is so urgent and it is so important for every one of us to take up the whole armor of God through a diligent use of the means that God has given in order that we might be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You cannot be strong when you are attacked, and you will be attacked. If you have not been regularly and diligently trained by the faithful hearing of God's Word with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be strong and stand against the enemy if you have not been faithfully training and you do not have your weapons and you do not know how to use the weapons effectively in the battle. And that is why God says you must put on the whole armor of God. Indeed, the Lord warns us in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, not a warrior. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." To those who are mature, that is, to those who by reason of use, who by reason of practice, who by reason of training have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You have to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit as Jesus used it when the devil tempted him. You have to practice again and again and again and again. You have to practice until the day that you die. You have to learn how to use the shield of faith as Jesus did. You have to learn how to use all of these weapons that are derived from the deepening knowledge and living application of the Bible. Right here in Fort Collins, or wherever you live, you need the whole armor of God. If you live anywhere in this world, you need the whole armor of God. You cannot do without it. You need all the weapons that God gives you. And you need to know how to use them. Before Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he prayed, "Father, keep them, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus is saying to his Father in heaven, they must not be left alone. They are poor children who are not diligent, who can neither stand nor go without your help. They will lose the grace that I have given them and fall into those sins and temptations which I kept them from while I was with them. If you do not keep your eye on them every moment and constantly hold them in your almighty arms, therefore, Father, keep them. Even when we worship God, our strength is in the Lord. You're going to pray. Where will you find materials for your prayer? We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, the Bible says. If the Lord left us alone, we would soon pray ourselves into some temptation and cry to God to give us things that would harm and even destroy us. Therefore, God puts words in our mouths. And even when God puts words in our mouths, they will freeze in our lips if God does not stir our hearts with love and devotion and earnest desire and longing for God. We do not have any of this holy fire in our hearts. The only sparks that we have in ourselves is the strange fire of sinful desires and lusts, which will not bring glory to God but shame upon His holy name. God must send fire from heaven to stir up our cold and lazy hearts. The Spirit of God must stretch Himself out upon the soul as the prophet Elisha did on the dead child. And then the soul will have true love for God and faith in Jesus Christ and will long for Him and for His truth. The Spirit must groan. The Spirit of God must groan. And then the soul of man will groan. The Spirit of God dissolves the heart and enables us to pray from the heart unto the Lord. He enables us to wrestle with God in prayer. If we are weak in grace, are we able to pray that we become strong? And that our sin and corruption becomes weak? No, only this comes from the Lord also. Psalm 138 verse 3 says, "In the day when I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul." The Lord strengthened David in his soul. David did not pray himself strong. But God strengthened him in his praying. When we hear God's word preached, the soul's strength to hear the word of God is from God. He opens the heart to attend to his word. The Lord opens our understanding to receive the word. The Lord enables us to understand what the Bible means, to apply God's word in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives and in this world in which we live, and to apply it correctly and profitably. The Lord says in Isaiah 48, verse 17, the Lord teaches His people to profit from His word. The Spirit of the Lord God teaches hearts and convicts and convinces people of His truth. He opens the promises to us. He opens the eyes of our understanding. He causes our hearts to burn within us while He speaks to us. That's the working of God. And that is why the Lord says here in our text in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, that the Christian's strength is in the Lord. This should keep us humble as we serve the Lord and do His will. Remember, when you have your best suit on, who made it? Who paid for it? Your grace, your comfort is neither the work of your own hands nor bought with your own price or earned. Do not take credit for what the Lord does for you. His help should not nurse your pride. Walk humbly, therefore, before your God, remembering that your strength is borrowed strength. What does it mean to be strong in the power of God's might? To be strong in the power of God's might implies two acts of faith. First of all, it implies a settled, firm persuasion that the Lord God is almighty in power. Be strong in the power of His might. That is, be strongly rooted in your faith concerning this one foundation truth that God is almighty, infinite in power. Second, it implies a further act of faith, not only to believe that God is almighty, but also that God's almighty power is engaged for our defense and protection and deliverance. So as to bear you up in the midst of trials and temptations undauntedly, leaning on the arm of God Almighty as if it were your own strength. That's what the Lord is saying here in our text. He wants to drive us away from leaning on our own strength. He wants to stir us and encourage us and constrain us and compel us to make use of the almighty power of the living God as freely as if it were our own whenever we are attacked by Satan in any way. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might means flee to your God, whose mighty power is intended and devoted by God Himself for your help and your defense, for your protection and your deliverance. Go strengthen and entrench yourself in the Lord by a steadfast faith, for His strength is for your good. This means that it should be the Christian's great care and endeavor in all temptations and trials to strengthen his faith in the almighty power of God. And it also means the Christian's duty and care is not only to believe that God is almighty, but strongly by faith to rest on this almighty power of God as engaged for our help and our defense in all of our trials and temptations. Beloved, the devil is fighting a battle for the souls of men, for your soul and mine. And if you are not fighting him, that can only mean that you are still on his side. On the other hand, if by God's grace you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, enlisted in his armies, keep up the good fight of faith and stand fast in the word of God against all the wiles of the devil. You must study God's Word. You should not be satisfied with knowing just a little bit about the Bible. You should not be satisfied with just reading it personally or in your own home. You should dig into the Word of God. You should gather with the people of God to learn more of God's Word, to learn more of how to rightly apply it whenever the Word of God is being preached or taught publicly. Prayerfully investigate all the great doctrines of grace so that you become intellectually first, but then also experimentally acquainted with all that God has revealed to us in His Word, because we are going to face the battle against Satan and his demons more and more as we live in a time of increasing wickedness and falling away from God and from His truth. The enmity, the hatred against Jesus Christ, against the faith once for all delivered to the saints, is enormous. It is increasing. If we do not teach ourselves and our children and our children's children the Word of God, we will lose that battle. Satan and the world will defeat us. Beloved, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord of hosts. Ask for His almighty power. The Lord of hosts is the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Jesus is more than conqueror. He has promised to help us in this fight. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot do it alone. If we try that, we will fail. He tells us, lean on me. Every day sit at my feet, being instructed by my wisdom, by my grace, by my help. We must put on every part of this armor from God. If you do not have all of these parts, then you really have none of them. It comes in a whole package. The whole person is involved and given the weapons and the strength through Jesus Christ to stand against the devil and all his wiles. Christ alone can help us. Christ alone has taken the fight to Satan, and He is defeating him for and on behalf of His people. We follow Him as the great captain of our salvation. His promise is so wonderful. He has promised that He will give us the victory because it is His victory. What will you do with this when you go home today? What will you do with this when you go back to work tomorrow? Are these just some interesting ideas which you've heard about in church? No. These things must be reality in your everyday life. In your heart and soul and life every day. Satan is strong, but Christ is stronger. Christ will destroy the evil one. He has done that already at the cross. And now He is actively working out His victory, which will culminate with the total destruction of the devil, when he will be cast into the lake of fire together with all those who serve him and have not been willing to leave his kingdom and have refused the overtures of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save us and to help us in the battle. But if we ignore Him, then we will find out too late that the day of His grace and salvation is past. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are sobered by the power of our enemy, by his craft and his wiles, by his hatred, by his persistence, by his ferocious attacks, by his subtle temptations and snares. We thank you for this encouragement, this warning that you have given to us in your word, to be strong in you, our Almighty God, and in the power of your infinite might. putting on the whole armor that you provide, with all of the weapons that you give. Oh, Father, enable us daily to learn more of the Scriptures and to practice it in our lives, that we might have all of these weapons and know how to use them effectively in the great battle of the ages against Satan and all his hosts, against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Enable us, Father, to stand, because we rely upon you, because our faith is strengthened through growing understanding and application of your holy word. Equip us for the battle. Preserve us in the battle. Use us in the battle for your glory. And Father, we pray for those who are still fighting on the side of the losing one, Satan. Rescue them, we pray, from the jaws of death. Rescue them from everlasting destruction. Open their hearts to see their danger, to see the enemy with whom they are in cahoots, and deliver them, we pray, from his bondage and slavery into the glorious liberty of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, which is the liberty of all those whom you adopt as your children and heirs. We plead for your blessing, for the power and work of your Holy Spirit by and with your word in us and in those around us, that Jesus Christ might be praised, and that every thought and every enemy may be brought under his feet, that he might have the preeminence. For his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.